Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
We are in a verdict watch here at Crime Stories as we wait for the Sean Combs jury to hand down a verdict.
Our Nicole Parton keeping an eye on the courtroom. Nicole?
During the defense's closing argument on Friday, Sean Combs' attorney dismissed the sex trafficking and racketeering trial as a sham, labeling the prosecution's narrative an exaggerated depiction of the music icon's swinger lifestyle. In a confident and at times sarcastic presentation, defense lawyer Mark Agnifilo countered the government's characterization of Cassie Ventura as a victim of sex trafficking, referring to her instead as a, quote, winner who emerged with $30 million following settlements with Mr. Combs and the proprietor of the hotel where she experienced an assault. Agnifilo contended that the two ex-girlfriends of Mr. Combs, who testified they were coerced into drug-fueled sex parties, were actually eager participants, citing explicit text messages that conveyed their excitement for the encounters. He said they are swingers, asserting that the gatherings did not constitute sex trafficking, as alleged by the prosecution. I suppose you can sex traffic your girlfriend if you sell her into prostitution, he argued, but emphasized that Mr. Combs was not profiting from these interactions. The judge has indicated that the jury will probably receive the case on Monday.
Thanks, Nicole. More crime and justice news after this.
Jennifer Gould. The innocence of an elementary school playground was shattered by a revelation so chilling it defies belief. A calculated, cold-blooded murder plot by four fifth-grade girls, mere children, aged 10 and 11. What sounds like a grim movie script actually played out at Legacy Traditional School in Arizona, where these young conspirators allegedly schemed to stab a classmate and stage his death as a suicide, leaving a stunned community in utter horror. Dr. Mark Anderson, a child psychologist, spoke to 12 News.
Pay attention to potential warning signs. And if you're seeing that there might be an issue, there are doctors like myself. There are a lot of people in the community that are here to help.
According to the Surprise Police Department, this sinister plan was cooked up during lunch and recess. The motive? A breakup and bitter allegations of cheating by a boy. Their blueprint for horror was disturbingly detailed as well. One girl was designated to bring the knife. Another would lure the unsuspecting victim to an outdoor bathroom on campus. A third would stand as lookout. And a fourth would forge a fake suicide note to throw off investigators. In a chilling display of premeditation, they even planned to wear gloves to avoid leaving fingerprints. This plot luckily did not pan out because it was exposed before any harm came to the targeted classmate. A student overheard one girl's chilling declaration to, quote, just end him, end quote, and immediately alerted school officials, and authorities wasted no time. The very next day, police moved in. The girls' backpacks were searched and they were questioned individually with their parents present, causing their elaborate, deadly scheme to unravel completely. All four girls were arrested on charges of threatening and misdemeanor disorderly conduct. They were released into their parents' custody and suspended from school pending expulsion. A particularly unsettling detail emerged from the police report as well. While three of the girls reportedly showed remorse when confronted, the fourth girl allegedly displayed a disturbing lack of empathy, choosing to smile and laugh while making excuses for their actions. The Surprise Police Department says they do not plan to share further details on the case. Legacy Traditional School issued a statement emphasizing student safety and their cooperation with law enforcement. The intended target's name is not known, and no word if his parents were informed either.
I'm Drew Nelson. An 11-year-old boy is shot dead in broad daylight at a park in North Minneapolis, dying in his older brother's arms before reaching the hospital. On Monday, just after 2 p.m., gunfire rang out at Falwell Park. Witnesses saw cars joyriding through the area. One of those cars, a Kia with apparent bullet holes in the side, stopped a few blocks away on Morgan Avenue. A teenager stepped out carrying a child and begged for help. He told neighbors the boy was his little brother. The boy was Amir Lamar A.
Aikens. He had been shot in the head. A good Samaritan rushed the brothers toward the hospital. They flagged down a police lieutenant at the corner of Penn and Dowling Avenue North. The officer began CPR, but Amir was already gone. He was pronounced dead there. A balloon memorial now marks the corner where they stopped. Police say Amir was riding in a car through the park when someone in another vehicle opened fire. No arrests have been made. Investigators are now reviewing surveillance footage.
Cannot emphasize how terrible it is to have an 11-year-old boy shot during the day and killed.
That's Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara. At a community meeting inside Falwell Recreation Center, neighbors and activists called for an end to the violence.
We have a lot of community meetings where we come together and talk about what's wrong, and we already know what's wrong. I just want to challenge everybody to start coming together to talk about a plan to actually fix this.
That's community activist Joseph Banks. Princess Titus, who lost her son to gunfire in 2010, said Amir's death was part of an epidemic.
This commitment starts at home. When I ask a parent, how are you and how's your children? They say my children are bad. Everybody makes mistakes. There's no bad children, there's no bad people, there's bad choices.
Amir was due to start sixth grade at Hopkins Elementary this fall. His family remembers him as a joyful boy who loved video games and playing outdoors. His uncle described him on GoFundMe as, quote, a beacon of light in our lives. Donations are being used for funeral costs for his mother and expenses for Amir's seven siblings. His mother is also seeking a better housing situation. So far, the GoFundMe has raised $13,000 toward a goal of $18,000. For the latest crime and justice news, follow Crime Alert's hourly update on your favorite podcast app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Drew Nelson.